It was 4 a.m., and I was woken up by the sounds of thuds along the hallway in my hallway wall in my bedroom door. And this was a regular occurrence. It was this repetition and rhythm that would happen in my house growing up. And every single day, it would happen. 4 a.m., like clockwork, thud, 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 thud. And no, our house wasn't haunted. But instead, it was the sound of our 90-pound Labradoodle, who was big enough, and the hallway walls were just narrow enough that as he'd walk down the hallway, his tail would hit the wall and hit my door. And what it was my mother, who would get up 3 hours before her work day to start her morning routine before she would head to work as a middle school teacher. And like clockwork, every day, 4 a.m., thud, 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 thud. Now, before you think I'm taking a cheap shot at my mom on Mother's Day, oftentimes it didn't even wake me up, or if it did wake me up, it cast into a time of a very deep sleeper, so I would be able to go right back asleep. But I tell you this to highlight the fact of what she was doing. And she's probably embarrassed by me sharing this story this morning, but what she was doing is that she was getting up in enough time to go have her alone time with God as she would start the day in prayer and in reading scripture and reflection before she'd go off and start the day. And I knew that that's what she was doing, and it made an impression on me as a teenager, as a middle schooler, and beyond. At each day at 4 a.m., I'd hear the thud, 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 thud. And I knew what she was doing. She was getting ready for the day and having her time with the Lord. And what this reminds us of, and what it tells us, is that sure enough, kids recognize stuff and they notice things that maybe you as parents don't realize sometimes. And this morning, as we highlight mothers, I want to think about that for a moment, the incredible impact mothers can have on us as children who are shaped by them and by their behaviors, whether they realize those things are even shaping us to begin with. But mothers play an incredible role in the spiritual formation of their children. In fact, I want to highlight that by showing you some statistics there, that moms, when Gen Z were surveyed by the Barna Group, that moms are the children's foremost partners in prayer, where 63% cited that their moms made an impression on them in prayer. Conversations about God, 70% said that their mom was a go-to person for that. Conversations about the Bible, 71%, or other faith questions. Encouraging church attendance, 79% of Gen Z said that their mothers were the ones who were a spiritual influence in that. Teaching kids about the Bible, 66%. Teaching kids about God's forgiveness and religious traditions, 72%. And that's not to put a dog on dads today. That's not my purpose at all. When you read those statistics, it's not to then say, you know, that dad didn't do these type of things. But what I think it does do is just highlight the incredible and powerful spiritual role of mothers. But as we start this lesson today, I don't want to take this next step thinking about mothers for just a second. I want to take a step back. I want to talk about a young man named Timothy. And in Scripture, we see Timothy, and as it was read for us just a moment ago, we were first introduced to this young man named Timothy in Acts chapter 16. And there we're told that it was this young man who was gaining prominence in the church, and people were recognizing him as an emerging leader amongst their churches. And when Paul came to visit their church, he identified this young man, and Paul the apostle took him under his wing, as Paul was this older, seasoned Christian at this point who had done mission work and church planting, and he recognizes Timothy and he takes him under his wing and really becomes a spiritual father to Timothy. And as we would find out, as we're told in Acts 16, that Timothy's father, although his mother was a disciple of Jesus and a Jew, His father was a Greek. And some even would speculate that at that point, it's possible that Timothy's father might have passed away, although there's nothing to indicate that. But some have wondered that based on the role that Paul plays in his life. But nevertheless, Paul takes Timothy under his wing, takes him around and begins to go around and to plant churches and to build up the churches, and Timothy becomes his apprentice, his protege. And when we look at Scripture, we look at specifically the letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, you can see this great relationship highlighted. And we look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. Paul is encouraging Timothy. He's charging him to go out and to do the work of a minister, an evangelist, a missionary. And he says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned. He's charging him. Continue what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it. And you might read that and you might think he's talking about people like him, people like Paul, who had poured into this young minister, this young missionary, and as someone who has invested in him, taking him under his wing. And perhaps Paul had himself in mind and part of that. But in reality, Paul doesn't even come into the picture until Timothy's already been raised up. He's already been discipled in a lot of ways. Although Paul certainly would have still had a major contribution to the faith of Timothy and the ministry of Timothy. However, what Paul says next clearly indicates that Paul's not primarily talking about himself. And this passage is one is poured into it. He says, but how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. You see, what Paul is highlighting, those who have formed Timothy's faith and given him conviction, he's highlighting those who have raised him up. And his father, being a Greek, it wasn't his father who had done this. But instead it was his mother and his grandmother, as we'll see in this next passage. If you back up even more than that, and you look at the beginning of this letter, at the first five verses of this letter called 2 Timothy, we see again the spiritual mentorship, the spiritual fathership that Paul had with Timothy. He says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace and mercy and peace from the God and the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. I think there's depth to this relationship between Paul and Timothy. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I might be filled with joy. And he says this, he says, and I'm reminded of your sincere faith. I want you to notice in what we see next that Paul doesn't claim to be the one who's poured this sincere faith into Timothy. But instead, he says, this sincere faith which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And he says, and now I am persuaded, now lives in you also. As Paul invests in this young man, he does so with the gratitude in his heart for God using Timothy's mother and grandmother to instill this faith in him, which testifies again the profound influence that mothers and grandmothers have in children and being able to raise them up as disciples of Jesus. And in the last series that we looked at the series of how to engage culture. We talked about the different approaches that we can take in doing so. The series was called Upside Down, How Disciples of Jesus Are to Engage Culture. And we looked at the different approaches that we can do that. And that series is over. We finished it. But I wanted to take this opportunity, as we're talking about mothers, to raise them up as an example of what we called faithful presence. As an example, we talked about different approaches for us how to engage culture, and one of which was faithful presence, which is the idea of living in a complex world and not setting ourselves against the world, not living with a hostile posture towards the world, but rather faithfully and peacefully, day by day, impacting our culture through the instruction we're able to disciple people and through our service and they're just slowly making an impact. And I can't think of a better example of that than motherhood. Embodying this idea of faithful presence, modeling to us how we ought to interact with the world. Not in hostility, not in aggressiveness, but faithfully, day by day, just discipling those around us as a mother would disciple a child. And so this morning we celebrate mothers as an example to us for how we ought to disciple the world and how we ought to love the world, for better or for worse, for all the moments in which those we're discipling put us in difficult situations and frustrating situations. Right, the love of the mother is consistent. It's faithful, and it presses forward. And so what we see is that disciples of Jesus who are mothers, right, they teach in a way that their children learn the gospel, which we can learn from. Is we want to teach people the gospel by discipling them. But also mothers live in a way that their children become convicted by the gospel. And that's our posture towards the world as well. And so we lift up those disciples of Jesus among us who are mothers this morning, and we say thank you. Thank you for investing in your children and ultimately the next generation or the current generation of the church today. But we also want to realize and recognize as we're celebrating mothers today, I want to recognize that motherhood, biblical motherhood, and motherhood as Jesus would define it, is not just limited to mothers who have biological children or even adopted children or foster children, but it's much more broad than that, and that's what we want to celebrate this morning. In fact, Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 50, he says, "Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother," which is a really powerful thought. Because as we think about what motherhood is, it far surpasses that of biological children. And it encompasses the family of God. As I look out in the crowd, I see so many mothers who may not even have biological children, but you're a spiritual mother. And so this morning we celebrate mothers, and we celebrate all mothers as a church family today. As we're grateful for all of our mothers, the adoptive, biological, bonus and step, expectant, foster, grandmothers, grieving, spiritual, and single. And we lift you up, and we hope that you feel the force of our love and support behind you as you disciple the next generation of children, of teenagers, of neighbors in your community, of all kinds of people. And we lift you up and we say, thank you for serving as an example of faithful presence. And I know in my own life, as I think about spiritual mothers, you know, I'm preaching and it's kind of exciting that I think this is the first time probably since high school I've been with my mom on Mother's Day because of being in Arkansas and being in other places. And I have a great example, a spiritual influence through my mother who's here with us this morning. But also, I've been impacted by people who would fit these various types of motherhood. Other women, I think of a lady named Edie that in high school I used to mow for her. And she was deeply, deeply Christian, and her faith was very apparent. And after I would mow her lawn, I'd go, and she'd write me this little check for paying me to mow her lawn. And we'd sit there, always have like this hour to sometimes 2 hour just conversation where I said very little, and I just took in the faith of this woman, and as she's talking about her faith. I think of Jana, a mother and wife of a family that I lived with during one of my internships. And I remember her coming into the room I was staying in their home. The first night I was there, I'm nervous. I'm in the middle of Alabama, far from Ohio where I grew up, and just in a different world. And she just comes in and she says, "Listen, this is your home too." And just made me feel invited, made me feel welcome. And now every time I see her at various church events or lectureships, and she always just meets me with a warm embrace, and we pick up where we left it off. I think of a lady, a dear sister named Brenda Henston, a lady from the Mabelville congregation in Little Rock, where I first served full-time outside of college. And at that time, I was single, and she went above and beyond to make sure every birthday I had as a single minister there at the church, that she made sure I wasn't alone, and her husband, Jim, took me in. And then when Cassidy and I got married, they took us in as a spiritual mother and a spiritual father, recognizing that we both had mothers and fathers, but just investing and pouring into us and making an impact on us as a young couple. Although I will say, Jim, on my wedding day, he's standing there in the aisle. He had met Cassidy. Cassidy would stay with them when she came and visited me in Little Rock. And as Cassidy's coming down the aisle, he's going, "Run, run, go away, go away." But I'm thankful for Brenda. But then I think of the many women in this congregation who are such a blessing to not only myself and to Cassidy, but I see you pouring yourself into, whether you're a biological mother, whether you're spiritual, or you're a grandma, you're investing in the sons and daughters of God in this congregation. And we lift you up and we say thank you, and we ask you to keep being that faithful presence in our church that you are. And so this morning, you know, and we recognize Mother's Day is a day of rejoicing, but it's also a difficult day for those. Perhaps you're grieving a loss of a mother. Perhaps you're grieving the ability to become a biological mother has been out of reach. And perhaps you're grieving a difficult relationship you have with your, whatever it might be. We understand that Mother's Day can be a difficult day. And we want you to know, as Paul has told us, that we rejoice with those who rejoice, but we also weep with those who weep. And we hope you feel that support in our congregation, and that we are with you. And we ask you to step in that role as a mother of the sons and daughters of God here at Northeast. But we also recognize that this is a day where there's a lot of rejoicing of our mothers of all kinds. And so we also rejoice with those who rejoice. And in whatever way you serve as a mother today, we thank you, we honor you, we support you, we love you, and we lift you up. And so I want to take you back for a moment. The 4 a.m., thud, 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 of our dog going down the hallway. And as I reflect on that experience week after week, month after month, year after year of the silent testimony, or the not so silent testimony, of my mom taking time to invest in her relationship with God, probably not realizing that those things ever woke me up until I've told her about it. But as I think about those things and the message that sent to a 12-year-old, 15-year-old, 16-year-old, and eventually 18-year-old ready to go off to college is discipling me by not even directly doing so, although she did in many cases, but just by setting that faithful example of reading Scripture, seeking after God, teaching me what it's like to have a relationship with the Lord. That's what we're after. And we can make an incredible impact on this world if we follow the examples of our mothers in living as a faithful presence, a faithful voice, when needed, a faithful example always, and a faithful presence where we can just be a part of people's life as our mothers invest in us as well. And so again, we thank you, we honor you, we lift you up. And again, we want to rejoice with those who rejoice this morning. So this morning, the way we're going to conclude the sermon is we have a video prepared, and this is a tradition here at Northeast that far outlives my 2 years here. And it's a tradition where we think about those who have welcomed children into the world this year. And so we have a video of some of our new mothers with their babies, and we want to display that at this time. And then we're also going to, I'll come back up after this video, and we're going to speak a word of blessing on some of our new families this year.